Hey, friend, and welcome back to another episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. The songwriter said, allow me to reintroduce myself. I took boards on Friday, and guess what? She passed. Yes, she did. Okay, because only God can do it. Only God can do it, period. I cried so hard in them people's parking lot. I sat there for 20 minutes crying. Hezekiah Walker said, gratefulness is flowing from my heart. I still don't know that it has fully registered in my brain what has happened, but it has been such a long journey. And this is a testament to God's faithfulness. This is a testament to God's goodness. This is a testament to God growing my endurance. I did what God told me to do, signed up for school, finally went back. And if you've been listening for any length of time, y'all sat here and listened to me trying to negotiate myself out of obedience. I did it. And the minute I took the first step, you know what happened? I went into kidney failure. You know what happened? Then my uncle got sick and he eventually passed away the following year. Like, do you know all of the things that have happened? Okay, I just told y'all my dog died, then my nana died, and my brother-in-law got hit by a car and passed away. Like, that has been within the last 90 days. And God is so faithful, and I'm not about to cry on this microphone. God is so faithful and he is so good. He is so faithful and he is so good, and he will absolutely finish what he started. He sees his work through to completion. We have to find ourselves in a position to hold on to our relationship with the Lord in such a way that even when situations are bad, even when your emotions and your circumstances and your relationships, when all of these things are being shaken, you have to allow God to continue to be your guiding light. You have to hold on to his unchanging hand. I literally know by personal experience now what that means. Because while all of my circumstances have been up, down, all around, you know what has not changed? You know who has not changed? The Lord. God has always come through. He's always made a way. He's restored my body. He gave my uncle more time than the doctors ever thought that he had. So God has been faithful in all of this and then has allowed me to get on here and to prayerfully be a testament of who he is, not just for me, but he's that for you too. There's an assignment that he has on your life too, sis. There is work that he has for you to do. And do not give up. Hear me and hear me real good. Do not give up. There were so many moments where I was ready to give up. I have called my friends and said, I'm about to change my name, move to Mexico, and mind my business. And the Lord gonna have to find me there. He will find me there. I am done. There were so many things that I have endured and shared publicly, things that I have endured privately that I have not said a word about, that God has been so faithful to keep me through. And I want you to know that there is joy on the other side. I haven't even had a lot of my circumstance change yet. I haven't had an opportunity to start doing all of the things yet, but I feel it coming. The things that God has shown me, the things that he has said to me, even in just as recent as Monday, God had me do another update to the app. Y'all better get this Spiritual Well app and get locked in, okay? There are so many things that God is now releasing to me because it has my full focus. Whereas before, I had to have divided attention because I'm studying for boards, I'm in school, I have household obligations and things of the like, right? I need us to remember that as we build a life that does not exhaust us, as we operate in agency, there is nothing more important than your relationship with God. Nothing You have to actively work to build that intimacy. And it's not just about the outcome. It's not just about producing what's on the other side. Those 20 minutes of tears was gratitude. All I could say was, thank you, Jesus. Because he told me, just trust me, girl, I got you. And he never fails. He has never failed me. He always shows up. The weapons was forming. Okay, it was looking prospery, but they did not. The weapons formed, but they did not prosper. And I pray that this encourages you to trust God, sis. Do not confuse your condition with your circumstance. A lot of my circumstances have not changed, but there is a new condition that I have on the inside of me that no one and nothing can shift. God is faithful. And the same joy that I have is available to you because he's not a respecter of person. Now, friend, this week, what we're doing is we are circling back to a Bible study that I taught back in February in the Society. For those of you who don't know, the Society is a membership community that I co-host with Tatum Tamia of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast and Kavaya Watrice of She Who Is Called, where we are able to pour into women. It's all the things. I love the Society real bad. But I want to share this Bible study lesson because in order for us to build a life with God that does not exhaust us, to operate in agency, to operate within the full scope of the authority that God has given us, we have to also simultaneously build intimacy with him. And a lot of times we miss this part of discipleship. It's not really given to us and laid out to us in a way that is understandable. And I want to do that here. And so we are going to listen to that Bible study today. So this episode may be a little bit longer than normal because of the audio from the Bible study, but hear me and hear me good. Please circle back. Please finish it. Commit to getting what you need so you can build this relationship with God, because that is the catalyst that is going to change everything. It's going to change you mentally, spiritually, emotionally. It is going to allow your circumstances to eventually catch up to your condition, because your circumstance and your condition are not the same. Do you hear what I said? Okay, sis. So we're going to listen to this Bible study. Also, quick PSA. I went back to work on Monday. These kids, COVID cases. Your baby's back in school? Hands, wash them. High touch surface area cleaning. That means remotes, door handles, all of the things. Y'all take care of yourself. Don't be weary, but we gonna be wise. Okay? I never stopped wearing a mask. If you work with the public like I do, you might want to do it. There's just a lot of COVID going around. Let us not get too comfortable with something that was out here wiping the saints out. Okay? I understand that it does not need to be sensationalized, but the rise in numbers, I called my friend who worked for the CDC, epidemiology, okay? The numbers are actually rising, and so I want everybody to make sure that they're taking care of themselves. I have been getting mollywopped at work. The other clinician is out sick, and I want y'all to have this lesson, and then the lesson, the notes that I prepared, where we're going to talk about comparison. We gonna spin the block on them next week, okay? So, friend, without further ado, make sure that you got your notes and your edges and the things of the like. We are going to hop into this Bible study about building intimacy with God. We are talking about tonight building intimacy with God, and that looks like so many different things for so many of us, and I want to give y'all a little bit of background on what we're doing. So if you were here last year, toward the end of the year, we started an expository study, meaning going line by line, verse by verse in the book of James. And the Lord told me that we needed to move to the book of Romans. And it felt a little like, I'm like, God, is this you or my ADHD? That's what it felt like. But as I sat with him and he instructed me as to why, it makes sense. So the reason that we are doing the Book of Psalms in our devotionals is because God told me that he wants to work on building emotional connection, that spiritual, mental, emotional connection. And if you've been here, you remember me saying that, let me know in the chat. What I found is that as I sat with the Book of Romans, it was like, God, you have to make it make sense. The Book of Romans actually correlates with the Book of Psalms in terms of us building intimacy with the Lord. And you may be like, huh? And that's why I want to talk to you tonight. Okay. So here's the first thing I want to ask y'all. How many of you feel like you need to grow deeper in your intimacy with the Lord? You're like, something, like, I'm saved, I love the Lord, but something is missing. There's a level of depth that is missing. And you can just put a two in the chat. Okay, perfect. Church hand, whatever y'all want to do. I want us to really understand when we leave here, some of the battles we face with intimacy. And I think it's so important that we address this before we get into the Book of Romans. So my prayer is that y'all did y'all little homework and watched the videos of the overview of Romans. But if not, tonight we're really going to talk about how Romans ties together. We're going to talk a little bit about Paul and his life. And we're going to talk about the cycle of intimacy and where it look what it looks like. And so that quiz that I gave you guys, the survey, it will help you know where you fall in the cycle. And that's why I had you take it. Okay. So just remember, were you mostly A's, B's, C's, or D's? So one of the reasons that a lot of us struggle with intimacy is because intimacy oftentimes feels like obscurity. Intimacy a lot of times feels like obscurity. Does that make sense to y'all? Obscurity meaning like, child, don't nobody see me. I'm doing all this good little work. I'm just out here. I don't feel like I have a lot I'm not making a lot of progress, right? And so we have to understand that intimacy with God often feels like obscurity. It's because in intimacy, God gives us depth before he gives us visibility. If you have been here for any amount of time, I told y'all how fruit is produced. Do y'all know that? Does anybody know what I say about how fruit is produced? Put a three in the chat if you don't know, and I'll tell y'all. But fruit is produced the same way fruit is produced in the ground. If you have an apple seed, do you just stick it in, like you let it touch the dirt, and then you like you pull it out and eat it? Is it an apple? No. So the seed, there's roots. Then there's stuff that happens with the seed before you start seeing anything happen above ground, right? So when we talk about us developing a level of success in the Lord or developing fruit, it's going to be eternal first. That's roots. That's that connection. That's me doing what God has called me to do to serve his kingdom, to exalt him, and not anybody or anything else. Then you have that internal work. The work that God has me doing in this season between school, building and rebuilding this app, I'm focused on eternity and what he's called me to do. And it's stretching something on the inside of me. And not a nan one of y'all have used the app, right? So it's eternal, internal, then external. And a lot of us want to get saved and see external fruit tomorrow. And that is because the intimacy that is required feels like obscurity. And so in scripture, you see a lot of times where the Lord brings people into a level of being hidden before they step out into public ministry. So this is where you are building trust, dependence, and depth, i.e. intimacy. You do it while no one is watching. And so I have an equation that I landed on today, and I'm going to share it with you. It's intimacy plus integrity equals impact. Okay, this ain't A squared plus B squared equals C squared. It is Intimacy plus integrity equals impact. A lot of us want impact with no intimacy, and a lot of us want to make impact and we have no integrity. To have integrity simply means that we are faithful. To have integrity means that we are consistent in what the Lord has called us to do. To have integrity means that we are consistent even when no one is watching. And so when you have intimacy plus integrity and that impact is there, you're then able to ensure that you don't end up like the people in Matthew 7 hollering, "Lord, Lord, I did all of these things in your name." And he says, "Depart from me because I never knew you." And so it's really important to understand that intimacy is built in a place that feels like obscurity, but God sees you. So you're not in the middle of nowhere. You're not in a place where you're being left behind, because a lot of us feel like because I'm not seeing what I deem as progress or movement, then we don't have any progress. And somehow we have confused busyness and productivity. And so a lot of us are burnt out. If that's you, let me know. You're like, "I'm doing everything, child, and getting absolutely nowhere." It's giving hamster wheel, okay? It's giving cage, and I don't understand why I'm doing things and the impact that I'm expecting to see, I'm not getting the fruit. If that's you, let me know in the chat. But that's because there's either an issue with intimacy or integrity. And as we go through, as we go through, we're going to talk about what this looks like. But I want to give you some reasons as to why intimacy feels like it's not really given what it's supposed to. One is because God removes distractions in seasons of intimacy to deepen focus. And for a lot of us, we have equated the number of things that we do with the quality of who we are. We've attached our worth. We've attached our work for God. We've attached all of these things to the number of stuff that we do, the things that we accomplish. And so oftentimes what happens is when God is calling you to intimacy, that thing, whether it's that ministry, that podcast, that YouTube channel, that job, whatever the case may be, he may tell you to put it down. He may tell you to put down something that you feel like has life, but he's like, "No, girl, it's giving fig tree with no figs on it. It's just leaves. And I need you to know that there's no fruit on this tree." And a lot of times we feel like we are struggling because there's no external validation. We are oftentimes in these seasons forced to only be okay with the validation of God. And for a lot of us, that don't feel good. For a lot of us, we're not used to that. A lot of us need external validation because of some mental and emotional things that we've been dealing with. A lot of us can only be okay if other people are okay. Like, we need to know that everybody else is cool with what we're doing before we proceed. If that's you, put a one in the chat. Okay, put your church finger up. Like, "Yeah, girl, sometimes if other people are off, it throws me off." If that is you, friend, that's called codependency. We got to work on it. Okay? Because we have to learn to be okay just in the presence of God. That's how intimate of a relationship we have to have with him. And so we see this with Moses in Exodus 2. He spent 40 years in the wilderness as a shepherd in obscurity. No one knew where he was. Nobody was like, "Oh, that's big Moses, not the little one." Like, none of that was happening. He was working as a shepherd, and it really taught him how to hear God's voice clearly instead of depending on the approval of people or public applause or public success. Because the last we had heard of Moses, he tried to break up a fight and they was like, "Nah, you killed that man." And then he ran away. Then having this level of intimacy is going to help you, because growth happens where things are not seen. Roots grow deep underground before a tree bears fruit. And so a lot of what God is doing is building character before your calling. A lot of us want to deal with and and we want to work in our calling, but we have poor character. The thing that is actually required to keep us there and to make sure we can sustain, we don't have yet. We're not equipped. We're still called, but we're not yet equipped. And so we try to skip intimacy and we want to have impact without following the full equation. Does that make sense? So when you see David in the fields and he gets anointed, he spent like 15 years waiting. He was but a child when he got anointed. But that very same space of obscurity was what he leaned on, his dependence on God, when he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Okay, if y'all know me, y'all know when people make me mad, that's what I call them. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine talking about my Lord? God was with me with the lion. He was with me with the bear. So the struggles that he faced in obscurity during those times of intimacy gave David so much confidence that when Saul said, hey, put on my armor, he said, nah. We sweep by that, but Saul was the king. And he said, no, the Lord is going to allow me to step in who I'm called to be. And he was sure of that because of what happened in the space of growing intimately with the Lord. Does that make sense? So now David has a level of humility and endurance, right? There was a level of pride that he did not deal with in the beginning. There was a level of humility where he served Saul and went like, I thought I got anointed king. You want me in here playing the harp? All of that was developed in that season of intimacy. When you're in this season of intimacy, God is going to refine us without outside pressure. And so the way that this really kind of came about, this discussion with me and the Lord, is because I'm getting antsy and I just want to release my app. It's stressing me out. Can I just figure this out later? It's a lot of little changes and refinements that the Lord is having me make. And he said, Sharla, this is going to be easier for you to do now in obscurity than it is if you're trying to keep up and manage people. So you and your prefrontal cortex going to have to submit to me. And I said, you is right. You is right. So we need to understand that this is where we can be developed without outside pressure. God is not going to let you look like a fool because you belong to him. A lot of us step out prematurely without intimacy with the Lord, and then we be looking crazy. But God allows us to make mistakes oftentimes in the background. His grace and mercy cover us, right? Love covers a multitude of sin. And so oftentimes those big things God will deal with in private because that's who he is. And so it really allows us to become very spiritually mature, and then we're able to rely on the Lord rather than our ambition, rather than our talent, rather than our skill, rather than our education alone. We're able to really develop intimacy with God and know like, hey, God, I know I got a couple little cute skills. Okay, I can do a little CPR. I can do a little bit of coding action. You know what I'm saying? But really, I can't do none of this without you. Really, I need to know what your daughters need so I can make sure what I'm building is for your glory and not for mine. I want to make sure that people come to this space, download this app, whatever the case is, and they see you and they don't see me, that they're not enamored with what I'm doing, but that it is you that they're building relationship with. It's you that's transforming them. And I'm just creating the space. Intimacy with God is more important than visibility. Public ministry without private intimacy is why you are burnt out. Somebody put that in the chat. Public ministry without private intimacy is why you are burnt out. Please understand that the word ministry or to minister simply means to serve. So that means your kids too, You're serving your kids without any private intimacy with the Lord, and that's why you fussing them out. That's why they tap dancing on your last nerve. That's why you have no grace. You're trying to put yourself in a position to serve without having intimacy. We see Jesus stealing away constantly in scripture because there's a level of intimacy that although he was 100% the Lord, he also was human as well and still prioritized the intimacy in his relationship with God. He knew that the Father was his source. And it's here when you understand that, that there's a level of strength and resilience that you build. Here is what I want you to understand. Resilience is not bad things happening and you pretending. Alex Sanders said, Jesus didn't have kids. Girl, yes, he do. Yeah, he got us. And it's pretty ghetto. Have you seen humans? Okay, because I mean, him and the Father are one, but yet separate. But he know from Adam and Eve. That's why he had to put his shoes and his skin on and come down here as a baby. He is very well aware of the responsibility of kids. All right. But it is so important that we understand that we have to deal with being resilient. That doesn't mean pretending like things don't happen, but there is a level of moving forward that you have to have, right? You want to appropriately deal with your emotions, sit with the Lord about the things, do what you need to do, and then continue to move forward, right? So I told y'all, my uncle passed away a couple weeks ago. It sucks. Right? Like there's loss just sucks. It's a part of it, but it sucks real bad. I done cried. I done laughed. I went and saw my family. I processed my emotions. I sat with the Lord and was like, you know what, God? I think what's hard is just not being able to contact him because I don't really feel like he's lost. Like he's with the Lord. You know what I'm saying? So there's no, he's not lost. Right? But I know I get to see him again, but there is that space and time that we don't have that easy access to. And that's where the sadness is. Like I've done all the things, right? And now, although I just came back from seeing my family, all that, like I can get on Bible study and be okay. This isn't me pushing through. This is like, no, like, yeah, the Lord is dealing with that and he's going to put my family back together. And we had a good time and carried on. And I'm glad that the Lord made a provision for me to go see my family. But resilience is me not being bitter and angry with the Lord. Spiritual resilience is, you know what, God? I know I'm sad that he passed away, but they said he was going to die in 2017. I started calling him Uncle Lazzy. Because how many times you going to touch his hem and come back, right? So there are things that the Lord had allowed me to experience and I can feel my feelings and then also pick up my cross and get back in position. I didn't make myself do it on Sunday with all the flight stuff. And I'm like, look, I don't have it. But resilience is like, okay, but we're going to make it do what it does on Tuesday night. Even though I flossed out one of my daggone fillings in my tooth and had to go get my mouth numbed this morning and have them put it back together, right? Like, it's like not allowing the distractions or even the things that aren't necessarily distractions, but the waves of life to get you off track. But that can only be developed in intimacy. It's because I have an intimate relationship with the Lord that I can say, God, I'm sad. But you know what? You extended his life like another 8 years. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that my uncle knew that anytime he wanted anything, baby, Amazon was on the way, 2-day shipping. And to the point where it became a joke. He was like, I ain't got no package. I got no package this week. Right? So there are things that the Lord allowed me to remember and be grateful for, even in the midst of sadness. That is resilience. So it's not pretending like it didn't happen. And then intimacy is where God tests our trust in his timing. And this is where we get ate up. This is where we get ate up because I want you to know that it's estimated that Joseph spent about 13 years from pit to palace. Jesus spent 30 years in obscurity to prepare for 3 years of ministry. He spent 30 years, all them years, okay, 18 years of it was on punishment because he went back to that temple. stayed there, and his mom and them didn't know. He was obscure. There's nothing written from about him after Luke for a minute. That whole, I think, is it Luke 252? Where it's like, he became humble, growing in wisdom and stature with God and people because he was on punishment, right? Jesus did all of that growing, and his ministry only lasted 3 years. How long was John the Baptist in the wilderness before he popped out and showed them? We don't know, but it was a long time, and he was eating bugs and stuff. And a lot of us get so frustrated in the wait, and it shows that we are lacking intimacy with the Lord. So I need you to know that obscurity and intimacy is not punishment, it's preparation. And when we allow the Lord to hide us, right, we deepen our intimacy with him because we learn to depend on him and not the approval of others. Almost every leader that you see, I was in deep this morning, okay? They say it might have took Noah anywhere from 55 to 75 years from build the ark to the time that it happened. How many of us are in such intimate relationship with the Lord that if it took him 55 years to do what he said he was going to do, you would continue to show up? Or would you struggle? Let me know in the chat if you would struggle. I was like 55. Now, Lord, listen. Real quick. I'm 34. Okay. 55 more years is 89. I mean, I'm going to do it because I love you. But do I want to do it? No, not 50. 55 to 75 years is wild. How long do you think it was from the time that Paul, the writer of Romans, which is why we're doing this, how long do you think Paul spent from the time he had the encounter in Damascus to him becoming Ether Paul? How much time do you think that was? Just give me a quick estimate in the chat. The way it's written, it feels like it was immediately. It was like he got up, he went to Straight Street, Barnabas came and was like, you can see again, bro. You can be out here. How long did Paul spend in obscurity? Yolanda said 30 years. Kiara said 45. Tawanda said she guesses 15 years. Okay, 3 more seconds. Any more guesses? 3. 2. Come on, Sonny. Just put it in the chat. I see you. Just put it in the chat for me. Okay. Anna said 10 years. 12. The winner is Tawanda because it's estimated 14 years from the Damascus Road experience to Paul actually going out in public ministry that he spent growing in intimacy with the Lord. And the Lord had to shape him before he could be a public figure. And he did that through intimacy. So we see him on the road to Damascus in Acts 9, but then he does not jump out into having that public ministry right away. What we see is he has the encounter on the road to Damascus. Then he blind. Okay? 3 days. Y'all see some foreshadowing? He's blind. He get his sight back. Resurrected. New name. Jesus, 3 days. He was back up. You see? I love the Bible. So he spends 3 days where he's completely dependent on God because he is blind and he can't eat or drink. And so he's likely praying and reflecting on his encounter. And so the intimacy, it really begins where you're broken. He's like, I can't see and I'm hungry. Right? Big Paul, not the little one. At the time, he was Big Saul. Then he spends time in Arabia And he spends 3 years in obscurity. So he doesn't consult with anyone after his conversion, but he goes to Arabia for 3 years and he's learning and he's praying and he's getting revelation, right? He spent time alone with the Lord so that way he could properly lead others. Then he goes back to Damascus and the people are like, wasn't you killing us? Get out of my face, right? And it was so bad that he had to secretly escape. They were like, we are about to kill you now. We're about to kill you now. And so what I want you to understand is that in those seasons of obscurity, it's in your intimacy that the Lord is going to have to confront with you the things that you did in your past life. And a lot of times we don't like that. Like, yeah, I'm going to use you, Saul, Paul, Wall, whatever you want, like, whatever. I'm going to use you, okay? And also, there's going to be opposition because,
friend, something that stresses me out in my quiet time is when I'm trying to highlight something in the book of Joshua, but somehow the ink ends up in the book of Revelation, and the Lord has supplied a solution, Mr. Penn. Mr. Penn is an amazing company that was started by Christian teachers in Louisiana, and girl, you can tell, these Bible study supplies are phenomenal. I have the Bible journaling kit. I also got the Bible study sticky notes and the tabs, and girl, they are everything I need and more. And you need it too, friend. The Bible study kit has highlighters that do not bleed through my Bible. I only want Christ to bleed for me. I don't need the highlighters to do the same. And Mr. Penn has figured out the solution. It has pens, highlighters. It has stickers for prophecies, themes, like it is literally everything. And because teachers are teachers, it has a bag to put all of my supplies in. I am in love. The Bible study sticky tabs have dates for me to hold myself accountable to memorizing my verses. So I'm not just sitting there staring at them, but I'm able to continue to really progress in learning the word and keeping it in my heart. And I am in love. They even have custom products for churches, schools, conferences. They sell school supplies. They have Bibles. Everything that you need is over at Mr. Penn. So whether you're upgrading your own quiet time or you want to gift for a friend, Mr. Penn is the move. I need you to shop the best Bible journaling supplies on the market and fantastic gifts for the ladies in your life at MrPenn.com. That's MrPenn.com. And guess what? Our audience gets a special discount. Use the code PURPOSE10 at checkout to get 10% off of your entire order today. That is MrPenn.com and use the code PURPOSE10 at checkout to get 10% off of your entire order today.
The decisions that you've made or decisions you didn't make, and I'm still with you. I decided not to go back to school when the Lord told me to. Okay? He's dealing with that in this season of what feels like obscurity, and I'm having to rectify and reconcile my delayed disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience, okay? He's gracing me to get through it. He has given me everything that I need. He has been so gracious and kind. It's still ghetto, okay? I got a test this week. I'm tired, right? So we have to make sure that we're okay with the Lord doing that intimately. And so then, after he leaves, right? After we see him going into this space of isolation and resistance first, this is why you have to understand that you're in solitude. You're not forsaken. There's a difference between isolation and solitude. I'm with the Lord privately versus me withdrawing from everyone, including God. After that, Paul had 10 more years in Tarsus, where he would like teach a little bit, you know what I'm saying, dip his little toe in. But it was not the same level of ministry. And it was there that he was working until Barnabas brought him to Antioch, where we finally see the Paul that we know.
Then, after 14 years, then Paul is the Apostle Paul. Then Paul is setting up churches. Then Paul is writing letters to churches that we're still referencing today as Holy Scripture as we get ready to study the book of Romans. And so here's some things. I'm going to give y'all the high points because I want to show y'all the cycle of intimacy, okay? Here are some lessons on how Paul's journey built intimacy. First, here's what we need to know. Intimacy requires time away from the noise and things that appear to be good. Now I'm gonna turn this thing back on accident. Things that appear to be good that are not of the Lord, right? Anything that you're doing without the intimacy of God is noise. So you may have integrity, but integrity for what purpose? Oh, I'm faithful to show up and record a TikTok video every day, but for what? If you're doing it without the instruction and the intimacy of the Lord, it's for yourself, and therefore it is misplaced. Paul did not rush into ministry. He spent years in solitude and prayer and hidden preparation. And a lot of people want to be used by God publicly before you're transformed privately. And so now there's a tussle and there's tension. Paul went blind for 3 days, right? Joseph, like, he ends up over Egypt, but before any of that happened, that man was in the pit. That man was in prison, falsely accused. He had to go through and grow through and transform. A lot of times God builds intimacy through being hidden. A lot of why I think we struggle with this is because we live in a generation where everything has to be public. Everybody wants receipts. Everybody wants all of this, but fruit will speak for itself. I don't have to say, hey, yo, it's something about the way this app is being rebuilt. It's giving. I know it is. I can see the fruit that it's having in me preparing it. And so I am very well aware of the magnitude of what God has entrusted me with. So much so that I'm like, no, yeah, I actually do need a little bit more obscurity. It's given I need that. Because when this gets released, whatever God is going to do, I need to be in a space and in a place where I can handle it properly. That means that although I wanted to release it in January, yeah, no, God, I see why you said I had to release it in May. Because I'm going to be done with school. Then I can handle the assignment in its totality. We get excited, but if our excitement and our zeal are prematurely launched, it's going to be ghetto. And you're going to fall on your face. And then you blame God. Or you think that you're not hearing from God, but you did hear from him, but we wanted to skip intimacy. We wanted to get to the platform. We wanted it to be public. Yes, intimacy often feels like obscurity, and so we don't like it. A lot of us don't know what real intimacy looks like. Go ahead, Sonny. A lot of us don't know what real intimacy looks like in our friendships, in romantic relationships, in our households. And so God is having to undo what real relationship looks like, what real friendship looks like, what real courtship looks like. Okay, a lot of us have dated raggedy men before. Intimacy without integrity. What'd it get you, friend? What did it get you? Intimacy without integrity with that man got you what? A headache. Got you what? Locked up. Got you what? A charge. Okay? Like, intimacy without integrity is an issue. So you have to have both. Next, trust is developed in uncertainty and waiting. How many of you put a 3 in the chat if you feel like, man, I struggle with trusting God? Put a 3 in the chat. I'm trying to see something. Okay. I struggle with trusting God. Kiara with a 2.5. Friend. Okay. My same people who struggle with trusting God, put a 4 in the chat if you also struggle with impatience. Just in general, not even just with the Lord. If you're in traffic and your blood pressure is raising, if that's you also, put that in the chat. Mm-hmm. So the reason, Sarita put a 4 for 4 meal from Wendy's up in here. The reason that we often struggle with trust is because we don't know how to wait. Romans 8:25 says, if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. We don't have that. And the way that God develops a thing in us is not, he don't just send an iOS update and then you upgrade. That's not it. He's going to give you on the job training because he needs you to understand the concept. And then finally, we need to know that intimacy requires stripping away everything else. Paul lost his old identity. He lost his status and he lost his ambition. Before Paul was an apostle, he was a Pharisee. So he went to Bible college. He knew the word and he still had them stone Stephen to death. Right? We have to be in an intimate relationship with the Lord. So that means you got to let go of your personal plans. That means that you have to trust God's refining process and you have to be willing to really just trust God's will and accept it with delight in your heart. Okay. Think about our devotional this week that was like, God don't want no stank offering. Charlotte Living Translation. Get your heart right. We have to make sure that we're okay living at the, here's the P word, the pace of God. Galatians 5:25 talks about if we live by the Spirit, we have to walk by the Spirit. We are trying to say that we live by the Spirit, but we trying to walk by what TikTok say. We trying to walk by what the latest trends say. We try to walk by what the YouTubers say. And that does not add up. We have to live for God in spirit and in truth. And so a lot of us are burnt out and busy. We look like Martha instead of Mary. And we say that very casually. But imagine Jesus is at your house and you are doing dishes. Girl, get out the kitchen. Okay? We can do dishes tomorrow. This is Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Mary had the right posture, which is why Jesus did not rebuke her. I'm not going to ignore the responsibility, but baby, there's a time and a place, and I'm walking in pace with the Spirit. So I want to share with y'all the cycle of intimacy, what the progress looks like. Okay. Here's the definition. Ha ha ha. Probably should do that first. Intimacy is marked by a warm friendship through associating or through developing a long association. Sharla, get it together, friend. Ciao. The devil is a lie. This is why I don't be using slides no more. It is marked by a close association, contact, or familiarity, or a very close friend or confidant, an intimate friend. A lot of us know a lot of raggedy people. We have been in relationship with raggedy people, and you still, based on history, interact with some of these raggedy people, even though their integrity has been shown not to be great. You still are in intimate relationship with them, and you ain't got to put nothing in the chat, friend. Just know that it has happened to me too. If we give those people still access to us, why do we be doing God? Never mind. Just know that we are considered friends of God. And so that means that there's a level of relationship, of intimacy, of closeness that we need to be okay with developing. What does that look like? It looks like this. This is the progression of intimacy. First, there's belief. then there is hope, then there is faith, then there is trust. If you had mostly A's on your quiz, then you're in the belief stage. Okay? That means that you are really like trying to understand God, but you're struggling to experience Him personally. I'm going to put this in the chat for y'all. Okay. If you had mostly B's, you're in the hope stage. You want to trust God, but your disappointment or low expectations is eating you up. And so now you can't get to a place of intimacy. If you had mostly C's, you know the truth, but you're not doing it. That's problematic, friend. And if you have mostly D's, you are really moving to a place where you can surrender things with God and really build intimacy with Him. Understand that trust is the mountaintop of intimacy. I trust you. Right? If you trust somebody, you'll leave your kids with them. Wouldn't you say that's an intimate thing to do? I'm going to drop my baby off at your house. Because I believe in your character. I have an expectation of what you're going to do. I have a need, so I'm responding. You said I could bring that baby over. I'm responding. And I'm leaving my baby with you, so I'm entrusting you. That's an intimate relationship. People who feel like whose kids call me TT. That's an intimate relationship. My god sister texted me today and said that my niece said, I haven't seen my TT. And my god sister was like, who? What? And she said, you know, the Christian with the pool in her backyard. Heavy on the Christian. With the pool in the backyard. Jemiah, please. Because she does not know my real name is not TT. The Christian. With the pool in the backyard. I say, girl, these kids do not be caring. But there's a level of intimacy in me and Alexis's relationship. To where her baby's like, yeah, her, where's she at? Where is my TT? I need to talk to her. Right? In that same vein, this is how we interact with the Lord. Right? So when we talk about belief, what do you think belief is? Y'all let me know. When I say, oh, I believe, because some people think that, like, oh, I believe in God, so I'm going to heaven. I don't know, friend. Actually, Tari, it's the opposite. When you say that you believe, that means that intellectually you understand. It's here. When you believe, when you have hope, faith, now there's a connection. That's why the Bible says, even the demons believe. We know they're not saved. Right? But it's when we allow the Lord to lord over our life, which requires deeper intimacy. Things like hope, faith, trust. Then we really look like Him. So you do need to believe, right? That, like, that's important. But belief is essentially like, I know of Beyonce, but I don't know Beyonce. That makes sense? Like, oh yeah, I know Beyonce. But I don't know Beyonce. And a lot of people get saved and they go to the altar because they believe in their heart and confess with their mouth. Like, they know that God is real. They know that they're a sinner. They go, and then they're like, yeah, I'm just going to come to church. Because no one teaches this progression of intimacy. You have to have belief. So everything on this progression is required. But I want us to look at where we are and then find the bottleneck so we can really get to a place of living in relationship with God. Does that make sense? So everything on this list you need, like all of it goes into the cake. But the icing better be buttercream. And that's the trust. Better be buttercream frosting. Eat whipped frosting. Are you saved? So if you're struggling with belief, there are doubts about God's existence or his goodness, knowing scripture, but not seeing the relevance. So you know that faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence things not seen. And when somebody says, how does that apply to your life? You're like, right? But you know it. So if someone believes in God, they believe that he is who he says he is, but they feel like he lives out of their reach. Right? They know he exists, but they don't engage in relationship. How many people do we know like this? Christians. Some of y'all favorite TikTok Christians. Because there's no intimacy. And just, child, ain't even no integrity. It just be. I'm going to say something. The next part is hope. When I say hope, what does that mean to you? So if belief is an intellectual understanding, what is hope? If faith is the substance of things hoped for, why is hope so important? I think a lot of us get ate up at hope. Yes, Yolanda. Hope. So, Tawanda, yes, there is a desire, but not only do I have a desire, but there is an expectation. Let me call my earthly daddy right this second and say, hey, somebody tried to run up on me. Lickety split. That man is on the flight. I'm not joking. And I have no doubt. I have an expectation. I know that man. I know he loves his kids. Let something happen to me. Okay? Last week, I thought my dog had died. It's a long story. My dog would not wake up for nothing. I thought he was dead. You know, after I called my husband, you know who I called? My daddy. And that man sat on the phone, right? Like, oh my gosh. But I knew when I called him upset, there was an expectation that he was going to respond. A lot of us struggle with a confident expectation. How many of you feel like, oh, I confidently wait on the Lord? How many of you, as we go through the Psalms, are as confident as David? Or do we like read and be like, that's cool? A lot of us are in the that's cool. Like, I mean, that's what he said he'll do. But do you have a confident expectation? We have more confident expectations in doing what the algorithm says and in implementing frameworks. But do we have a confident expectation that God is who he said he is? And not only is he who he said he is, but I am to him who he says I am. And because of that, the same way I call my earthly father with an expectation, I know when I call my heavenly father, there's an expectation as well. Exactly, Tawanda. So a lot of us who struggle, we struggle with trusting the promises of God, right? So if you have hope, that means that you're trusting that God's promises are real and you anticipate his faithfulness. Oh, I know it's coming. I'm not worried about it. So I have to check every 3 seconds behind the Lord because I know he said he would do it. But if you're struggling here, you doubt whether or not God will act in your life. You're praying, but you're struggling to expect an answer. And a lot of that is because of fear of disappointment. You're avoiding hope because you're trying to protect yourself, but you're going further and further into this loop of despair. And so you're doing the things of God, but there's a disconnect because hope is a part of intimacy. So if someone hopes that God can restore their marriage, but they really deep down are like, child, I ain't about to change. So what are we doing? So you're not walking in faith, because in order for you to have faith, according to Hebrews 11, and this progression, Faith is the substance of things that you have a confident expectation for. I can confidently expect that God will do what he said he would do. How do I know? Because he said, let there be light. And the sun was sunning today. Now, not in New York. Okay, I almost got stuck. It was ghetto. The sun was there, but we could not see that man. It was snow, and I hate it. Okay? But he said, let there be light. Here's what I'll tell y'all. My uncle, this last time he had an event, anytime I pray, I'm like, God, let your will be done. He told me what was going to happen. Now, I was a little confused because, like, bro, I made it out the hospital. I said, oh, what happened? Like, I thought you said, okay. But I knew that my uncle was tired, and the Lord revealed that to me. And I said, okay, God, just let your will be done. And my granny, child, Lord Jesus, be with your daughter and us. Okay. Right. So I knew that the Lord was going to manifest his healing in him transitioning. And so even I was still sad, but I knew he said it. He said it. And so my hope then shifted to God, let him like rededicate his life to you. And that also happened because he told me, like, I'm coming to get him. Right? It also happened. And so there's a level of expectation. Even when things don't pan out the way that we want, I'm still confident that God is going to do what he said because he is who he said he is. Then there's faith. What is faith? I feel like we've talked about this a lot. And don't give me Hebrews 11 and 1. That is not the definition of the word. The word can't be in the definition. What is faith? Thank you, Sonny. Yes. Doing what you hear God said. So faith is God's divine persuasion and your response. So you're activating your belief. When I'm walking by faith and not by sight, I'm doing what I heard God say to do. I'm responding to it. And a lot of times we will water this down to just like, oh, I had a feeling. That's not faith. Faith is I heard what God said, and in response to that, I'm doing it. I heard God say, hey, girl, this is what we're moving with the app. You cannot shut it down. In fact, you will rebuild it, right? I heard him, and I'm responding. That's faith. And a lot of times, we struggle so that it's being convinced by God to trust him, and that trust leads to action. So we're in between hope and trust. We're building a little trust piece by piece. Here is where we struggle. You're uncertain that you really heard God. Like, was that you? Remember I told you, was that you or my ADHD? You're going back and forth because you're trying to control the outcome. So now you're wavering. Now we're double-minded. So then we get nothing. Come on, Brie. Or it's not what you wanted to hear. When I prayed about my uncle, I was like, child, I hope I'm wrong. But I wasn't. Like, I wasn't. I was like, ooh. That wasn't really what I wanted. And also, I know that God is a good father. I know that my uncle was tired. He didn't want to be where he was. Right? And so I have to have enough faith, hope, and trust in God that the right decision was made. And then a lot of us, here's the last one, struggle with faith because we have this thing called conditional obedience. Put that in the chat. Conditional obedience. That means that I'll only trust you when I feel like the circumstances look right. Oh, I don't really like what that looked like, God, so I'm not going to do that. I'm in the middle of school, so I'm not about to redo my app right now. No. Conditional obedience. So we struggle because I need all the details in order for me to step out. Where is the trust in that? So God may be calling you to step into ministry, but you delay because you're like, I don't know the way my finances set up. But there's only partial faith there. The app rebuild was giving very much so, my time is ate up. When am I supposed to do that? But assignments are still being turned in. Grades are still being got. Okay. Progress being kind of made. I don't know. I keep changing stuff. But I'm doing it. And I did not wait until the conditions looked perfect for me to then fit it into my schedule. I don't know why the Lord has me wanting to do this right now. Here's a good example of this. And I don't know if I told y'all this story, but here we are. I'm in my last semester of school. I wanted a break real bad. I mean, I was trying to hype myself up listening to Jackie Hill Perry, and my husband came home and I was crying, writing my assignments into my planner because I don't want to do it. I want a break. But something, the Holy Spirit, on the inside of me, when I said, God, I need a break. Please. Like, please. I'm tired. I try to do this little slick thing with the Lord where when I don't want to do what he say, I'll give him really, really crazy conditions. Like, well, I don't have a preceptor. So if the school says I can't use my old preceptor, then I guess I'm taking a break. The school's like, oh, girl, that's fine. Tears. Because I really just wanted a break. The Lord said to me, Charlotte, there is an administrative change that is getting ready to happen. And I know you're tired. But I need you to trust me. Girl, the day my student loans cleared, that man wrote an executive order. It was literally the day my student loans cleared. An executive order came out. Now, is there a lot of legislation that happened? Sure. But when I tell you, I cried. God, I'm so grateful that you are ahead of me and behind me, because if I had decided that I was going to take, who knows what's about to happen in August? It's been 4 weeks of just what? But God knew that and said, listen, girl, you have to push through. You have to be resilient. Take a nap, but you're going to be in them classes, right? There's a level of faith that I had to have. I had to move forward because he told me to call my old preceptor. And I was like, okay, I will. I put it off. She texted me the next day. I said, oh, you really are not about to let me take this time off, are you? Right? But how often do we get to see that? Like, I thought I was being a little cuckoo-ca-choo. I'm like, God, what that man about to do? Write an executive order? It's so important to not have partial obedience. That's what faith looks like. Faith looks like, yeah, I know everybody's like, oh, don't put, no, there are seasons where you do have to push through, friend. So as I sat here crying and writing out my stuff, right, I'm doing it. I have scripture literally taped to my desk about how discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. I'm using his word to encourage me. Because I have a level of intimacy with him that I know that God is not some kind of weird sadist that's just like, yeah, I'm gonna make you cry. Like, that's not who he is. So although my flesh may not like it, I have faith, and my faith allowed me to be covered. So by the time whatever they finish doing over there in Washington, your girl is okay. I'm okay. I'm gonna be done. I'm gonna be out these people's school system. Okay? And then trust. Trust is full dependency and daily surrender. So not full dependency in one area of your life, not full dependency one time, but full dependency and daily surrender. So a lot of us who struggle here, right, we are having fear of surrender and control. You be eating the what if sandwich. Girl, what if? Can I get a what if extra large? And we are not trusting God. You're making contingency plans for if God's plan don't work out. He sees you, friend. He sees you. I'm going to do what you said, but I'm going to make a contingency plan just in case. Ask Ananias and Sapphira what happened when they said that they were going to give up all that money that nobody asked for, but they gave it up. But they really didn't. And then lied about it. That's in Acts. Then people died. New Testament. God was like, all right, dead. Right? Like, so let's be for real. We make contingency plans. Or feeling secure only when things make sense to you. So trust is full dependency and daily surrender on God. So it's living as if God is completely reliable no matter what. And a lot of us struggle because we want control. You are over here wrestling with what ifs and making contingency plans. Like God tells you to go back to school and you're like, I'm going to go back to school, but I'm also going to do another complete business that has nothing to do with this because this isn't making sense to me. And then we only feel secure when things make sense. Right now, me working on this app in the middle, like this don't make sense. And not only does it not make sense, it make me tired. Right? But I trust the Lord. And so I'm going to do whatever it is he called me to do. And in due season, I trust that he will be exalted and there will be all the levels of fruit. Do I know when? No. Could be 55 to 75 years at this point. Okay. And so as we get ready to wrap, as we walk through Romans, Romans gives us and walks us through what it looks like to build intimacy with God. So remember, it's belief, then hope, then faith, and then trust. Chapters 1 through 3, belief. 4 through 5, hope. 6 through 8, faith. 9 through 11, trust. 12 through 13, trust that leads to transformation. And then 14 through 16 is trust in community. And so as we study the book of Romans, we are going to learn how to build intimacy with the Lord. Yeah, trust and community. Because how are we gonna be together and I don't trust you for? And the importance of community. So trust is not personal, it's relational. Because I'm in relationship with the Lord. And so in chapters 14 through 16, Paul gives encouragement, essentially showing that real spiritual maturity results in deep godly relationship because no one will grow you more than people. That's why iron sharpens iron. And a lot of us want to have intimacy in isolation. That's not how that works. Intimacy is a word that expresses relation. Friend, I pray that this episode blessed you, that you enjoyed the Bible study. Make sure that you download the Spiritual Well app and check out our latest devotional. This month, our devotional is about how God won't let you win in survival mode based off of our episodes that we have been doing in regards to building a life that does not exhaust you. Our next devotional drops in September. So make sure that you have the app so you can be fully notified. Get in, use the tools. There are so many things that God is shifting. And so I'm excited for us to connect, share it with a friend. I love you, girl. Make sure that you come back, you do the notes and all of the things, and I'll talk to y'all next week. Bye.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.